Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Spiritual Discourse. In this, you are about to listen an overview of Shaivam and Siddhanta. The title is Shaiva Siddhanta Basics, presented by Shiva Madhusudanan Kalai Chelvam. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Vinnalum Devarkum Melaya Vediyanai, Mannalum Mannavarkum Manbahi Nindranai, தன்னார் தமிழளிக்கும் தன்பாண்டி நாட்டானை, பெண்ணாடும் பாகனை, பேணு பெருந்துறையில் கண்ணார் கடல் காட்டி நாயேனையார் கொண்ட அண்ணாமலையானை பாடுதுங்கான் அம்மானாய். ஓட்டை மாடத்தில் ஒன்பது வாசலும் காட்டில் வேவதன் முன்னம் கடலடி நாட்டி நான்மலர் தூவி வலம் செய்யில் வாட்டம் தீர்த்திடும் வான்மியூர் ஈசனே, நீரூரும் செஞ்சடையாய் நெற்றிக்கண்ணாய் நிலாத்திங்கள் துண்டத்தாய் நின்னை தேடி ஓரூரும் மொழியாமே ஒற்றித்து எங்கும் உலகமெல்லாம் திரிதந்து நின்னை காண்பான் தேரூரும் நெடுவீதி பற்றி நின்று திருமாலும் நான்முகனும் தேர்ந்தும் காணாது ஆரூரா ஆரூரா என்கின்றார்கள் அமரர்கள் தம் பெருமானே ஆரூராயே. கார்புருவும் கருங்கூந்தல் செவ்வாய் வெண்ணகை பச்சை கன்னியொடும் தார்கமல் பூங் காந்தளந்தோர் குமரனொடும் மணிசிங்காதனத்து மேவி சீர்பரவுவான் புலவர் நினைந்தன யாவையும் நல்கி சிறப்பில் வைகும் வார்புணல் சூழ் வயல் கமலைகள் கமலை தேவர்கள் சிந்தாமணியை மனத்துள் வைப்பாம். நமஸ்காரம். வித் தி அபண்டன்ட் பிளெஸிங்ஸ் ஆஃப் திருவாரூர் ஸ்ரீ யஜமானுடன கமல வசந்த தியாகராஜ சுவாமி அண்ட் ஆல் தி ஆச்சாரியாஸ், வி ஆர் ஹியர் ஆன் தி 8th டே, த 10th டே ப்ரோக்ராம் ஸ்கெட்யூல்ட் பை சைவம் டாட் ஓஆர்ஜி, டைட்டில்ட் அண்ட் ஓவர்வியூ ஆஃப் சைவிசம் அண்ட் சித்தாந்தா. ஸோ திஸ் இஸ் பீன் ஸ்கெட்யூல்ட் இன் அ வே டு இன்ட்ரடியூஸ் சைவிசம் அட் அ ஜெனரிக் லெவல், தென் மூவ் இன் டு மோர் டீடைல்டு டிஸ்கிரிப்ஷன் ஆஃப் சைவ சித்தாந்தா ஆஸ் இட் இஸ் பிராக்டிஸ்ட். ஸோ ஃபார் த ஃபர்ஸ்ட் 1 week, 7 sessions till yesterday, we've discussed about Shaivism, religion in general, why do we need it and how it has evolved over times, Shaiva religion and its historicity, how historically steeped it is, how it has been a common religion, philosophy interpreted in various different ways, in not just in India but in various other countries, how the worship of a figurine that looks similar to Shivalinga has been discovered and has been safeguarded as archaeological artifacts important with archaeological value in various different civilizations. Then we moved on to the Vedas, Upanishads, Itihasas and Puranas as the Pramanas that are taken over when it comes to verifying the originality and the traditional nature as a religion, especially an Indian religion. Then we shifted to the Tirumurais and the Nayanmars who have documented all their divine experiences as Tirumurai songs, namely Appar, Sambandar, Sundarar and Manivachaka Peruman. Then we also discussed about other schools of Shaivism, how we have the Pashupata school, which is like historically old, and then you have the branches of Pashupatam, and then we also saw about more Vedic schools like Kashmira Shaivam, Veera Shaivism, and also on Shivadvaitam as propagated by Appaya Dikshitendra. So today's lecture, the 8th module, is titled as Basics of Shaiva Siddhanta. So Shaiva Siddhanta as a tradition is more popular, and in fact this is the most happening popular school of Shaivism as far as Tamil Nadu and Sri Lanka are concerned. It's extremely popular here, and this has branched out into various different schools and religious associations and all that to various countries in the world in the last 100 years. Every time we speak about Shaiva tradition in South India, it's predominantly the Shaiva Siddhanta tradition that we speak about. Though there is a considerable population of Veera Shaivites who are here pretty much in Tamil Nadu, the major section of the Shaivite demography is taken over by the Siddhantins. So Shaiva Siddhanta as a school, its historic evolution, how it has reached what it is today, and the Guru Paramparai that they trace back, and a little on the philosophy of God as envisioned in the Shaiva Siddhanta is the topic for discussion today. So the school of Siddhanta, whenever you start talking about a particular philosophy or a religion or sometimes even tradition and practices at an academic level, we always tend to look for the lineage as it was brought to us. Now initiated into Shaiva Siddhanta today, all have a Diksha Guru who is probably active now or the ones who have attained Paripuranam, but we would have met them, interacted with them and got our doubts cleared and would have worshipped them, all that is there. But what is that route that they take so that the origin point, they all the way from the guru that whom has initiated us, we trace back to find that the origin is from none but Parameshwara himself. So how is this established? This is what is called as a santanam or a guru parampara, the acharya parampara as it comes. So it is necessary to know the lineage of one's school so as to worship the propagators, people who have propounded, safeguarded it during different times of odds, managed to hand it over to the next generation so that it has reached several hundreds of years to be with us now, to initiate us, and the tradition will continue. In fact, for the people who are initiated into different mutts, you would have noticed that everyday prayers is to ensure, we also pray that this unbroken tradition of gurus continues always. So that's a standard tradition that we follow. Not just in Shaiva religion, in almost all world religion, the tradition of revering and worshipping ones, the founding fathers and the people who have propagated it, has been a tradition. So here again in Shaiva tradition, we follow the system. Now the easiest way to understand where the Shaiva Siddhanta Acharyas today come from the nearest point in documented history, is to look for the Rajagurus of the imperial Cholas. The Chola kings are responsible for what the culture here is to a very great extent. So be it temples, which are like the central focus, the central point for culture and religion and spirituality, different forms of performing arts, visual arts and all that. So, you know, everything is centered, everything is always centered around the temple. So we generally, if we do a clear study on the Rajagurus of the Chola kings, we get enough clues to understand where the Shaiva Siddhanta school has come from. So especially two of the most prominent Chola kings, Rajaraja and his illustrious son Rajendra Chola, both of them have clearly given out in inscriptions, there are enough epigraphic proofs which speaks about how Ishana Shiva Pandita and Sarva Shiva Pandita were respectively the gurus for Rajaraja and Rajendra. So this term, the Shivan as a term, as a surname, is the clue that we first get. These are the people, as again described by themselves, the ones who belong to the Aghora Shivacharya Paddhati. Now that is a branch. If you recall the lecture on third day where we discussed about the Agamas, we saw how the Agamas are like the primary texts from which you had the Upagamas, and from the Agamas there also branched a system where this came into being. The Paddhatis, different Paddhatis, one of which is very popular and famous and put to practice by and large in many Shiva temples in Tamil Nadu today, is the Aghora Shivacharya Paddhati. Talk to any trained Shivacharya who performs consecration and other important ceremonies, they will always tell about the Aghora Shivacharya Paddhati, the contents of which goes predominantly into the temple worship and ritual process. And also there are other works like Kriyakrama Dhyoti, which refers to the members of their Guru Parampara, tracing back to what is called as the Amartaka Matam. Amartaka Matam is a matam which has been popular from around the 8th, 9th century. This is from the documents that we get from the central part of India, around Madhya Pradesh today. So on the banks of Narmada, which is considered to be one of the holy rivers, sometimes in fact celebrated at par with the Ganga itself, for all the number of Shiva shrines that are on either banks of Narmada, it is there on the banks of Narmada that the tradition called the Amartaka Matam, a monastery which followed, which was popularly referred to as Amartaka Matam, was situated. It is not restricted to India, but the presence of teachers from Amartaka Matam are also recorded in North Indian inscriptions. Notably, we have the Bhojarajas of the Bhoj country and the kings of Varanasi, the Kashi Maharajas, also in many documents claim their gurus to be the members of Amartaka Matam. So the sitting pontiff of Amartaka Matam invariably becomes guru to several royal families, as we can see both in South India and North India. And the Amartaka Mata Guru Parampara, if you take that for an investigation, that traces its origin to a person named as Guhavasi. An Acharya, their Pradhamacharya, they trace their lineage back to Guhavasi as the founding father for the Amartaka Matam. He is referred to as the Moola Purusha for the school. So next level, now we have the Shivacharyas, the Aghora Shivacharya Paddhati, and how that traces to Amartaka Matam, and from Amartaka Matam we go to Guhavasi. And another closer reading of various Puranas we find references to this character called Guhavasi as one of the forms of Shiva himself. Now, Linga Puranam specifically gives a list of 28 different forms that Shiva took, came down here whenever there was a requirement to teach us the Shiva Jnana, or you know, whenever there was a dilution of knowledge, Shiva appeared here, took a form and gave us the Jnana as one of the Acharyas. The 27th form of Shiva coming down to propagate Shaivism is referred to as the Guhavasi form. And Guhavasi, surprisingly, is a term that is used in various texts, including the Mahabharata, to denote Bhikshatana Murtam of Parameshwara. So one of the 25 Maheshwara Murtams, the Bhikshatana, is the one who is referred to as Guhavasi. And it is probably that this Guhavasi, who is also the Mula Purusha of Amrataka Matam, from where the Siddhanta tradition comes. So it is said that Guhavasi sits as the Pradhamacharya, as the founding father for this tradition, initiates Durvasa, from whom it is handed over to Amrataka, another the next pontiff from where the Guru Parampara starts. You can recall how a similar genealogy of Acharyas is also maintained and revered in the Kashmira Shaivam school, which we discussed yesterday. Similarly, we had Shiva because of the effect of Kali, all the Shaiva Tantras were lost, and how Parameshwara, the most merciful, took mercy on us, appeared in the Himalayas as Neelakanta and as Srikanta, and how he handed over the Tantras to Durvasa, from whom it reached Triambaka, and from where the Bhairava Tantra school came for us as Kashmira Shaivism. Similarly, here also Guhavasi to Durvasa, and Durvasa initiates Amartaka, from where the system comes. And this particular school, after a point of time, like all other schools of philosophy, splits or branches into many other schools, which is where you have names like Prabodha Shivan, Vyapaka Shivan, Ishana Shivan and more. So the Shivacharyas are the Prabodha Shivacharya Patadi or Vyapaka Shivacharya and the Agora Shivacharya, Ishana Shivacharya. These are the various disciples who installed their own mutts as branch mutts, or the branch traditions that branched out of the Amartaka school. The Saivite tradition, as we see it here, is propagated by them to match the Saivite tradition that they have propagated. The works, the theories that they have authored and the philosophical works matches pretty much with the Siddhanta concept that we follow here. And we noted that because there are few people who claim that the Chola kings followed Pashupata Saivam, there is absolutely not even similar single traces, or there are not even few, there is not any established traces from the Pashupata Sutras that are seen here in the works of the Guhavasi Parampare, the Amartaka Matha tradition. So the claim that the Chola kings, the imperial Cholas, belong to Pashupata school is totally a false claim. It cannot be proven, because as we saw yesterday, Pashupata tradition demands practicing very austere traditions and esoteric ways of worship and other things, which of course none of the Chola kings, as we know, have performed. So they or their acharyas belonging to Pashupata school is totally not possible. So it is through this tradition that we have reached the Amartaka Matha school has come here. So the general opinion that Shaiva Siddhantam as a school was totally born here is not correct. The Shaiva Siddhanta tradition definitely belongs to it is to be understood as a pan-Indian concept, because again, even in the Kashmira Shaiva tradition, we see a lot of similarities between there are a few similarities, and in fact a couple of agamas are considered to be similar with the Siddhanta text that we have here. We'll see about that very soon after looking at the acharyas here. Saiva Siddhanta as a tradition, as a school, is a pan-Indian concept not restricted only to Tamil Nadu. It has its origin, the impact and influence of it pretty much there in the Amartaka Matha school, which comes from central India. So probably different schools of Shaivam like Shivadvaitam, Kashmira Shaivam, Siddhanta Shaivam, all of this, going by the similarities that they have, should have all branched from this school, which was in the central India part. And also to be noted that most of these Chola kings accepted Acharyas who came from Gaudadesha as their own Acharya. We have several names like Ishana Shiva Panditar, Sarvashiva Panditar, and during Vikrama Chola's time, it was very interesting to note that how from the Gaudadesha, a Shaivite monk who had come to Chidambaram for Nataraja Darshanam was urged to become the guru of Vikrama Chola. We have enough undisputable scientific proof as epigraphs and other documents, primary documents available with us. So the acharyas, the Shivacharyas who followed Siddhanta tradition are the ones who have been the Kula Acharyas or Kula Gurus to the imperial Chola kings, and they have their origin from various parts of India, predominantly from central India. So Saiva Siddhantam as a tradition that binds India, that bridges the north-south difference in India is, I mean, amongst various elements that bridges this gap, Saiva Siddhantam is also to be considered as one. Very soon I'll also discuss about the Ashtaprakarana Granthas or the Pramana Granthas that several Acharyas of the Kashmira Shaiva school authored, and how that has its own impact in the Shaiva Siddhanta text. Very soon after we discuss about the Acharyas of Shaiva Siddhanta tradition, I'll start discussing about the works that turns out to be the Pramanam for us. Now we have, so we have these Shaiva Siddhanta Acharyas from whom we get initiated, and how their tradition goes all the way up to Guhavasi's Amartakamatam tradition. Now, we have what is called as the Maikantar Santanam, that is the most popular branch to which, that is the most popular origin point to which many of the Shaivite, traditional Shaivite schools here in Tamil Nadu belong. We have several mutts which traces its origin and calls themselves as the branches of Maikantar Santanam. Very popular ones include the Dharmapuram Adhinam, Thiruvavadudurai Adhinam, and Kasi Thirupanandal Adhinam as a branch of Dharmapuram Adhinam, and various other Adhinams run by Grihasthashramis like Velakuruchi Adhinam, Nachiyar Kovil Adhinam, and more. So all of these Adhinams, both with people who have taken monkhood and people who continue as a family and hand it over to the next generation in their family. The position of being an acharya is handed over to the next generation in the family. And if they are monks who have taken up sannyasa, the one among their disciples who is capable enough is chosen by the acharya, and acharya abhishekam and other things are performed. So several of these schools, 18 of which is very popular from historic records, and a few more which has been there and which have probably not exist now. All of these schools connect themselves to what is called as Maikantar Santanam. Santanam, as I told you, is the continuous tradition. So this starts from Maikantar as the Acharya. And in Shaiva Siddhanta, when it comes to speaking about the Guru Parampara or the Acharya lineage, we split that into two sections. We have what is called as the Agachantana Kuravar and the Purachantana Kuravar. So at the Agachantana Kuravar level, we have these Acharyas. But first, to begin with, the Acharya Parampara starts from none but Parameshwara as Sadashiva, who hands over all the knowledge through the Shaiva Agamas to Devi, Uma Parameshwari, and from her it is handed over to Nandi. From Nandi it goes to Sanat Kumar, and then from Sanat Kumar it goes to Satyanyana Darshanigal. From Satyanyana Darshanigal it comes to Paranjyotiyar. Now till Paranjyotiyar, between Nandi, we have Parameshwara and Parvati first. Between Nandi and Paranjyotiyar, all of them are celestial beings who reside in the Kailasha. So the knowledge of Shaiva Siddhanta through these Shastras and various Agamas were handed over to people who were celestial beings, and we had to wait till the avataram or the birth of Maikantar, Maikantar Shivam as he is referred to here, to bridge this gap from the celestial world to this physical world, bring down the Shastras and Agama knowledge of Shaiva Siddhanta from Kailasha to this world to be propagated among the common public here. So the first four Acharyas have been described by Thirumoolar. We take the very popular poem from Thirumoolar where he says there are eight people who were blessed by Nandi. All these Jnanam, the Shiva Jnanam as it is through the Agamas, there are eight people who were directly blessed into the Agama tradition by Nandikeshwara. It includes Sanakar, Sanandanar, Sanadhar, Sanat Kumarar, Shivayoga Mamuni, Patanjali and Vyagrapada, who were blessed by the Ananda Tandava Darshanam of Nataraja and Chidambaram. Finally, Thirumoolar himself. So Thirumoolar also is said to have been directly blessed by Nandi himself. Nandi as a name as such means that one person who is blissful because of that the knowledge that he possesses, that anandam, which is a byproduct of the jnanam that he is blessed with, being the first and the foremost servant serving Parameshwara and Parvati in the Kailasha. So he is, his name as such means that one person who is always immersed in bliss. And so he, through him, we have these eight people as listed by Thirumoolar, of whom Sanat Kumarar, the last of the four Shanakadi Rishis, becomes one of the Santana Kuravar, from whom it gets transferred to Satyajnana Darshanigal. And after Satyajnana Darshanigal, it is handed over to Paranjyoti. Paranjyotiyar, so this is the lineage. Now till this, they are all celestial beings who were residents of the Kailasha. Now, one fine day, Paranjyotiyar was making his trip on an aerial route to Podigai Hills. Podigai Hills is considered to be the residence of Agastya Maharishi. Agastya Maharishi himself is a person who propagated Shiva Puja. There are several Stalapuranas which speaks about how Agastya installed a Shivalingam or discovered a Swayambhu Lingam and worshipped it and handed it over to his schools, and the tradition kind of continues. So there are many Stalapuranas where a visit by Agastya to that particular Stalam and worshipping the Shivalinga Murti there is recorded. So a very staunch Shaivite himself, Agastya, who was a resident of Podigai Malai, and when Paranjyotiyar was on his way to Podigai Malai, happens on an aerial route, sky route, he happens to see when he was crossing this place called Thiruvannai Nallur, that sacred town which was chosen as the venue by Parameshwara to bless Sundaramurthiyar and bring him into the fold. So in that holy town, he sees a little kid playing on the streets. The brilliance, the divinity that was overflowing from the little kid forced Paranjyotiyar, who was flying in the sky, to come down and hand over, initiate the Shaivagama Jnanam. And the when I say Shaivagama Jnanam, it is nothing but the Siddhanta school. So the complete intellect was blessed to this little kid that was playing in the streets of Thiruvannai Nallur. Now that little kid is Maikanda Sivan. Maikanda Sivan, though he is always associated with Thiruvannai Nallur, his place of birth should be Thirupennagadam, which is the place where Upper Burman was blessed by Parameshwara. So he was born in a community of Velladar, people who were predominantly agriculturists, around the 13th century, end of 13th century probably. And his father is another historically important name, Achyuta Kalappadar. And his mother is mother's name is recorded as Mangalambikai. So Achyuta Kalappadar, Mangalambikai, in the end of 13th century, in a community of Velladar, in the place called Thirupennagadam, was born Maikanda Sivan. And the birth of Maikanda Acharya is by itself a miracle, because the couple, Achyuta Kalappadar and his wife Mangalambikai, for long didn't have a child. So they visited their Acharya in a place called Thiruthurayur. The Acharyas who was initiated them into Shaivam requested them to bless them with a kid. The Acharya, as the tradition goes, when someone approaches you as to not knowing what is going to be the future, when they face some problems and not knowing how to come out of it, there is a tradition where the learned scholars, when you approach them, they pick out the Thirumurai book with all reverence. In fact, there is also a tradition where we don't flip through the pages of Thirumurai by turning the pages with our hands. So always, there are few people who still follow it. They use a thread to flip the pages. So when people like this with confusions approach an Acharya, not knowing what to do or requesting a remedy, the Acharyas select a particular page using a thread, cutting through the pages of Thirumurai, and it is believed that the songs that appear there in that particular page, chosen random by the thread, which is considered as a divine intervention, is given out as a remedy. And when their Acharya did this, he landed in a song which was composed by Jnanasambandha to a place called Thiruvankadu, one of the Devara shrines that you see here in Tamil Nadu, to visit there. And Thiruvankadu has the tradition of taking bath, the devotees taking bath in three huge tanks inside the temple campus, each named after Surya, Chandra and Agni. So the couple take a dip there, pray to Shiva or Shvetaranyeshwarar, that is the name of Parameshwara there, Thiruvankadar, the Sanskrit equivalent to Shvetaranyeshwarar. And though they were not destined to have a kid in that birth, because of their prayers to Shvetaranyeshwarar through the Pasurams of Jnanasambandha, they were blessed. Now this is how these Pasurams, the Padigams of these saints, have helped come over, has performed miracles and come over a lot of challenges to several millions of devotees, and it is a wonder to see these things happening till date. It's my own personal experience also, I would say. So this is how the couple Achyuta Kalappadar and Mangalambikai were blessed with a child, and the child that was born as a boon by Shvetaranya Shiva was named after the Shiva himself. After Shiva from that shrine, he is called as Shvetaranyan. So Shvetavana Perumal. So that was the name that the parents gave. So Shvetavana Perumal was once playing has visited his uncle's home in Thiruvananallur, and when he was playing on the streets as a kid, that was when Paranjyotiyar, who happened to see him, came down, blessed him with the Agama Jnana, initiated him into Shaiva Siddhanta, and not stopping with that, also gave the name of his own Acharya. Now in the Guru Parampara, after Nandi and Sanat Kumarar, we have Satya Jnana Darshanigal, that in Tamil becomes Meikandar, the one who witnessed the truth, the one who had a darshan of the ultimate truth. So that is the name of his Acharya, which Paranjyotiyar happens to give as a Diksha Namam to Meikandar. So Svetavana Perumal, that's how he becomes Meikandar. And because it was like Jnana Sambandar being blessed by Parvati in Shirgadi, by Parvati Parameshwaral in Shirgadi, here Svetavana Perumal was directly blessed and initiated, and there was a miraculous transfer of knowledge. So he doesn't need to actually sit through classes and listen to sermons to understand. It was by mere blessing that he was given the knowledge of Shaivagam, delivering sermons on Shiva Jnana. So as this happened, even as a kid, he became extremely popular, and there were a lot of people who entered the Shaiva fold through him. A lot of people who were existing Shaivites sharpened their knowledge and got the actual knowledge of Shaivagamas were transferred through him to many of them. And it is a blessing to us, because like how the Nayanmar saints, the Nalvar especially, went on to deliver the essence of Vedas and Upanishads and Puranas in a simple regional language that we could understand, the Jnanabhagam of all these Agamas, the quintessence of Shaiva Siddhanta, were made into simple language that could be understood by common man, that could be understood through instructions from Acharya by common man, without an issue of language, was done by Meikandar to us. So this is how merciful the Lord and His direct disciples have been to us. They just want us to get to know it, and whatever is the constraint, there has always been a divine intervention to solve it out for us. If you say you cannot understand a particular language, you have works where, but you should stick on to the works that are approved by your Acharya. So you have the Tirumurai Acharyas or the Samaya Acharyas, as they are called, who have literally given the quintessence of Vedas and Upanishads and Itihasa Puranas, translated into Tamil and handed over to us in such sweet, beautiful, bhakti-soaked compositions that are emotionally moving also. So, and when you talk about the Shastras and you don't understand the Upanishads especially, and as an essence, you had the Agamas from the Upanishads without any ambiguity attached to it. And if you say that the Agamas are voluminous and are in Sanskrit and in other languages, that is again a challenge. You have these Shastras which have been authored in Tamil predominantly by the Acharyas. And so this is how easy things have been made to us. So you had Meikandar, who authored what is called as Sivajnana Bodham, the most important and the foremost Shastra work. If you consider the work in its size, it just has 12 sutras and a few prayer songs in the beginning. So it's, as a work, it is that it sounds very small, but the commentaries that are authored into it. Now the actual challenge to measure the scholastics of a person comes from how crisp they frame these phrases, they come up with these phrases, through which needs several hundred pages of commentary to understand. That has also thankfully been done by our Acharyas who have come in their lineage. So Sivajnana Bodham is the work that Meikandar has authored, and that is considered as the foremost treatise on Shaiva Siddhanta. So and he is composed Sivajnana Bodham as an essence from all the Shiva Sutras given to him by Paranjyotiyar, his guru. And he had 49 disciples, of whom Arunandi Shivam is the most popular, the most prominent disciple, the prime disciple. Arunandi Shivam is none but that Acharya who was approached by Meikandar's parents to help them or bless them with a kid. So Arunandi Shivacharya, in his Purvashrama, before becoming a disciple of Meikandar, was called as Sakalagama Panditar, another Shivacharya. So he came to know about the little kid who is working miracles, giving lectures, who was blessed without any classes or otherwise, who was just blessed mercifully, and how he had started delivering lectures on Shaiva Siddhanta, getting to know about this and not feeling very comfortable with it probably, Arunandi Shivam comes into the class, the lecture hall where Meikandar Shivam was lecturing, approached him, and it was at that position that Meikandar was delivering his lecture on arrogance. as one of the impurities. So Anavam, as it is called. So as he was lecturing it, Arunandi Shivam intervened and asked the little kid, considering that he is a small kid and he might not be knowing, he asked, now tell me, what is arrogance? What is the characteristic of arrogance and how it is the most important impurity? How does it, how it is to be understood? Maikantar very quietly pointed his finger at Arunandi Shivam, or Sakalagama Panditar as he was called then, and said, this is what is arrogance. And that was enough for this great Acharya, who was Acharyas to his own parents, to fall at the feet of this little kid, accept him as his Acharya and become his disciple, and who went on to be called as Arunandi Shivam. So you have the Santana, the Acharya starting from Nandi, Sanat Kumara, Satyajnana Darshanigal, Paranjyoti and Maikantar, from whom the knowledge of Shaiva Siddhanta through various lectures and as a tradition, the Parambara tradition was handed over to Arunandi Shivam. Aipasi Swati, the month of Swati Nakshatram in the month of Aipasi is considered to be the Guru Pujay of Maikantar, and it is celebrated in Thiruvananallur in a very big scale.